You probably won't understand the title of the lesson until just a minute, but it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Now, most folks, if they hear that, I guess in South Florida would think, yay, the weekend's here. That's what it's all about. Well, that's not what this lesson is all about. I want you to look at Luke 24. Look at that second slide. The Bible talks about these two men. We have no idea for sure who they are. We can sort of guess their names. But they're walking 7 miles. How long does it take you to walk 7 miles? Well, somebody, it takes, if you do 3 miles an hour, that's what, a little over 2 hours. And somebody says, for me, that's 2 weeks. I'm not sure how long it takes you to walk 7 miles. But they're walking along. I want you to get in their minds. I want you to think about what's going on in their hearts. They're walking along, and all of a sudden this stranger walks up to them. They don't know who he is. The Bible says God has hidden from them the identification of the fact that this is Jesus. And they're walking along, and Jesus looks at them and he says, why are you guys so sad? I want you to think about it. It's Sunday, but these guys really don't understand everything that is involved, because you see, they're locked in on a Friday. As they're talking about this, I love the way the New King James says, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Surely everybody knows what's just happened in these last few days. And the reality is, many of them would have known it, and that's really the lesson as we'll develop it today. The last few days from Thursday until Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, the four most critical days there's ever been. We've already celebrated that Thursday night gathering in that upper room, have we not? Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for many, for the remission of sins. And then all of the events on Friday, you would have thought would have had some impact on everybody there. You remember, do you not, the 3 hours of darkness? You remember that happened Friday. Surely everybody would know about that. And that great earthquake that was so great that the veil in the temple was torn from heaven downward. People could now look into the most holy place, the thing they'd never been able to see before. You look and back, stop and think about it. And all of a sudden, here's this stranger said, what's going on here? And they said, you don't know. And then they began to explain to him, don't you understand that there was this man named Jesus? And he was a prophet. Look at the tense of that verb. He was a prophet. And the next verse says, and we were hoping. He was, and we were. Now the reality is, if you read the verses that intervene, they've said there are some reports. Some of the women say that they've seen him, but their hearts have not grasped everything that's happened. And so there they are, and it's Sunday as they're walking on that road down to Emmaus. And it's all over. You ever had days like that in your life? Have you ever had events in your life in which you think, I really thought it was going to all work out and it was just like I wanted it to be, and then all of a sudden, it's over. I want us today to point out the fact things are not always what they seem to be. And if you're troubled this day, whenever those troublesome times come in your life, you need to back up and recognize and have underwritten on your very heart and your very soul, things are not always like they look like they are. The Bible says, You know, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we do not look at things that are seen. And yet, because we are human, that's what we are. We look around us and we're like these two men, and we're walking along, and all of a sudden our spiritual eyes are blinded, and it's, we were hoping. We thought it was going to be different. And I stand here and I look at you, and I know the lives of some of you, and I think about those times that I've known about in your life. We were hoping it was going to be this way, and it's not this way at all. Things are not always as they seem. And I want to illustrate that by talking about the last week of the life of Jesus, and the events that we talk about in the next several minutes are not necessarily in chronological order, but they're in preaching order, if that makes sense. Jesus has arrived in Bethany. He's there at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He's with them. And he goes into the city of Jerusalem. And the way that he goes into that city of Jerusalem is in a triumphal way of he's riding on a donkey, and envision the multitudes as he's riding into that city, and they're taking their garments off, their outer garments, and they're paving the highway, and they're taking the palm fronds and they're laying them on the ground, and get a picture of that road headed into that city, and it's covered with their garments and with the palm fronds, and there the people are shouting, "Hosanna to the Lord! Hosanna, Lord save, Lord save. This is the Son of David." Folks, it cannot get any better than this if you're one of those apostles. Here he is, and he's been talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is about ready to come. And can you imagine where their emotions were as they're there with Jesus and as they're walking into the city? And it's just absolutely perfect, because the multitude and the whole city is stirred by the fact that the King, the Messiah, the Lord Jehovah has come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah. Things are not always as they seem, are they? At that moment, their view of life and their view of things that were around them was so different. The multitudes are ready to accept Jesus. But when he gets into the city, he cleanses the temple. Hello? What do you mean? You're going into that most sacred place. You're going into that place where animal sacrifices are offered. You're going into that courtyards that surround that place. And there you are disrupting everything that's going on. And there you are turning over the table of the money changers. What on earth is going on? Things are not always as they seem. Businessmen looked at Jesus in that city and the events of that day, for it was the greatest of the feast days, or one of the great feast days of the Jews, and they've come from all over the world, and the city is filled with people, and they're there ready to offer their animal sacrifices and to observe the Passover. Business is really, really good. And all of a sudden he's flipping over the tables, and he's got the whip, and he's driving the animals and the people outside of that courtyard. And then there's that matter of the cursing of the fig tree. Not everybody was aware of that, but here's this fig tree and it's blooming, and Jesus, wanting some figs, walks up to it and there are no figs on it, and Jesus curses that fig tree. And the very next day when they come back by, his disciples are amazed that the fig tree has withered. And Jesus says something that probably they didn't really grasp at the moment. When he looks at that tree that is unproductive, and he turns to them and he says, "Have faith in God." What on earth is this all about? Things are not always as... Later they can look back. They can see that barren fig tree being like that barren nation, and the absence of faith in that barren nation, and the affirmation of those apostles where he turned to them and says, "Don't you be like this tree. Don't you be like this nation. Have faith in God." but they couldn't understand it at that time. Things are not always as they seem. And then he gets into the temple, and there's the confrontation with all of those religious leaders that are there. And they start asking him one question after another, and some of them are trick questions and trying to put him in a bad situation. And Jesus deals with all of them so supremely that no longer are the multitudes shouting, but they're there at his feet, and they marvel at what at his answers. Except for those religious leaders. He goes out to the Mount of Olives and overlooking the city, he talks about, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Right before that, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you, but you would not." And gets up to the top of that mountain that overlooks the city and says, "That beautiful temple is going to be torn down. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. And hear the sign so you can know when it's going to happen. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And when you hear of that, and finally when the gospel is preached to the whole world, not one stone of this temple will be left upon another." And to their amazement, he said, "And it's going to happen in this generation." Hello? How on earth would they have ever been able to understand what he meant whenever he said, "The temple's going to be destroyed"? It was all of their worship. It was their life. Things are not always as they seem. You've had times like that, have you not? Where you've struggled trying to figure out how the words of God fit in your life? Maybe not to this extreme, but you've had those times. You want to talk about those religious leaders and how they made that plot to kill him? Didn't want to do it at the feast, during that feast period, some way, because they feared the multitudes. But all of a sudden, evidently on Tuesday, before that Friday, it all falls in place. Because Judas comes and says, "How much is he worth to you?" And when they set his price at 30 pieces of silver, everything is ready for the events that transpire. The Passover feast, "One of you who sit at the table will betray me." Is it I? Is it I? Judas is there, and Jesus washes Judas's feet, and finally Jesus says to Judas, "What you do, do quickly." And Judas gets up and leaves, and everybody at the table assumes that he's running an errand for Jesus. Jesus has given him some assignment to do, and he gets up and he leaves. Things are not always as they seem. And you look at that last week of the life of Jesus, and then look at it through the eyes of unbelievers. Wonder how Annas and Caiaphas felt Friday afternoon. Even into the events that had transpired on Thursday. They want to kill Jesus. And everything is going perfectly. Everything. You stop and think about it. They've set in this plan. Judas is there. Jesus is arrested in Gethsemane. And Annas and Caiaphas are there. And they're trying to put him on trial. And finally they get two people to lie and agree in lying. And now there's let's put him to death. But we can't do it. We got to deal with the Romans. And because we can't kill anybody. But let's get Pilate. We'll get Pilate on our side. Even we have to get the mob to shout out, "Crucify him." And now he's been crucified. And Friday afternoon, everything is perfect. What about Pilate? Friday afternoon, "Pilate, what kind of week have you had?" "Well, I had a little bit of turmoil at the latter part of it, but I took care of all of that. They brought him to me and he was rather innocent, but when I washed my hands and said, 'His blood be upon you,' everything is perfect." It's Friday afternoon. Everything is perfect. What about Herod? Oh, Herod said, I've been wanting to meet this man, and Pilate sent him over to me, and now I've been able to meet Jesus. I was rather hoping he would perform a miracle while he was here. Friday afternoon, Herod, how's everything going? It's going wonderfully. How's it going? Those unbelievers that are there, how are those things transpiring? How are they falling out? Judas, what about you? Well, by late Friday afternoon, Judas's life is not what it was earlier in that day, but 30 pieces of silver. He's a thief. He kept the money bags of the apostles, and now he's got his own 30 pieces of silver. He's not accountable to anybody for. Everything has been going good. Judas gets a foretaste of it, and perhaps where he is late on Friday is not where he is earlier in that day, but things are going great, are they not? I want to talk for just a minute about those people that were in the city. We said they'd come from all over the world for the feast day. I know they're there for religious purposes, but they're tourists is the way I try to describe them. You know, they walked in the city and they walked by, and there are those three crosses. And they walk by and they're sort of indifferent. And now it's time for us to celebrate the Passover feast. And they forget all about Jesus. And it's Friday evening. There they are. Things are not the way they seem. Look at Friday through the eyes of believers, those who are followers. I put in the man that owned the upper room. I almost put in the man who owned the donkey that Jesus had ridden in. It's Friday. And you can borrow my donkey. You can have the upper room. Everything's ready for the Passover feast up there. I'm glad to do it, Jesus. But it's Friday afternoon, and Jesus is dead. It's over. Things are not always as they seem. Not just those individuals who were there, but what about those women? Read the last part of Luke chapter 23 and the early part of Luke 24. And it's those women. And there they are. And they follow Jesus as he's taken from the cross. And they follow him out to the burial place. And they go back home. And all day Saturday they're preparing spices because it's over. He's dead. And the only thing we can do is honor him. We can go put more spices on him. It's all over. And even you see the despair whenever he appears to Mary Magdalene on that Sunday. And she says, what have you done with his body? If you'll tell me where his body is, I'll take care of it. It's over. It's Friday. There's no hope. We were hoping. It's all over. And what about the apostles? I'll not forsake you, Peter said, and they all joined in a chorus of echoing what Peter had said when they all said, we'll not forsake you either. And in Gethsemane, every single one of them, Matthew chapter 27 says, they all forsook him and fled. 27:56. It's Friday. And even on Sunday, living in fear. They've killed Jesus. What will they do to us? And they're afraid of the Jews. We were hoping, but it's all over. There's no hope. And if there's any joy in this city, the joy that's in this city belongs to Pilate and to Herod and to Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. If there's any joy in this city at all, it's the ungodly, and here we are, the godly folks, and we don't have any reason to be happy. It's Friday, folks. There's no hope. You want to talk about those individuals? What about Peter? Verbally in that upper room, "I'll never forsake you." Whenever they said, "We've got two swords," and they said, "That's enough," Peter has one of the swords. And in Gethsemane, in that moment of courage, he's ready to kill the servant of the high priest. Cuts his ear off. And then Peter is so filled with fear and no doubt loss of hope, filled with despair, he doesn't even acknowledge that he knows Jesus. Not only has he and the other disciples been asleep when Jesus needed them most, asleep in Gethsemane, and the anguish that the apostles would have had of, "We let him down. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And now he's gone. The last hour I was with him, and I let him down." Filled with despair. It's Friday, folks. And Peter, cursing and swearing and saying words perhaps he hadn't used in a long time, saying, "I don't know that blankety, 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 blanky," whatever he wants to call him. Despair. But folks, there's good news. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Unbelievers, Sunday is coming. Annas and Caiaphas and those individuals that are part of that, Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, Sunday is coming. All of that joy that you had on Friday, it's Sunday, and these bodies not there anymore. The soldiers came in and they said to Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, "He's not here anymore." Caiaphas, Annas, Sanhedrin, the joy that you had, you didn't see it because Sunday has come. It's no longer Friday. Sunday has come, Pilate. You may have thought that you were free of his blood, but it's Sunday morning and his blood is on your hands. He was not a criminal. It's Sunday. Herod, who has a cursory interest in Jesus, all of a sudden now knows of the things that's happened. It's Sunday. And Judas, if you were there, you messed it all up. Of course, he was dead by this time. But the joy that he had Thursday with that money in his pocket and early on Friday morning is no joy at all. It's Sunday. To the believers, to those believers, those who administered to Jesus, loaning him donkeys or upper rooms or giving him housing or whatever, it's not over. It was Friday, but Sunday is coming. If somebody had just been able to say to them, if they'd been able to say to all of those that were around him, to those women and to his own mother, they'd just been able to say, "It's Friday, folks, but Sunday is coming." Sunday makes Friday bearable, doesn't it? Sunday is here. It's all different. If it's all Friday and things are as they seem like they are, it's all over. But when it's Friday, folks, remember, Sunday is coming. And to those women, and to the apostles, Sunday's coming. And that very day, in that upper room where they were locked in, they all saw him except Thomas. Sunday evening is so different from Friday evening, it's not worthy. If they had just been able to tell them. When on Friday they were ready to give up and go fishing and go back to their lives, folks, Sunday is coming. If you'd just known it, your life would have been changed. Everything would have looked so differently to you. And Peter, God can still use you. And you may be that person in your life who is filled with despair, but I want you to know it may be Friday in your life now, but Sunday is coming. God can use you. And remarkable to the women, whenever they saw him, he did not say, "Tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee." Tell my disciples and Peter. And all that is the message that when you're feeling the most sense of unworthiness, when you're at the point of your life in which you don't have a whole lot of self-esteem, that it is that moment on Sunday when God is most concerned about you and God knows your name and God calls your name, as it were, as He did Peter, my disciples, but especially tell Peter. And if you're troubled, God knows your name this day. God knows your name. You see, there are those Fridays and Sundays in your own life, are there not? There are a lot of Fridays that come into our life in which hidden from us is the reality of what's happening. We're on the road to Emmaus and we can't really figure it all out. But you see, it's Sunday that makes things turn out fair and right. The injustice of Friday is corrected on Sunday. Sunday makes a difference. Sunday makes a difference because that which some people call good is not good at all, and that which people call bad is not bad at all. When good becomes bad and bad becomes good, when people rejoice on Friday, they're going to suffer on Sunday. And when people are sad on Friday, Sunday is coming, and it makes all the difference in the world. Sunday is coming because it's the Sundays that provide hope on Fridays. If they'd just known he's going to be raised in 3 days, they wouldn't have buried him. Isn't that amazing? Put him in a place, take him back to the home of Mary and Martha. We'll just lay him out there. He'll be raised in 3 days. We were hoping, but never again after that Sunday should those disciples on the road to Emmaus use the past tense in relationship to hope. And if they could look back in the past in their life and see the Sundays that changed their Fridays into the brightest days there were, cannot we look back in our lives and see the presence of God in our lives and us have joy and have hope in the providence of God? And it's Sundays that give us hope for tomorrow and for all eternity. Folks, it's that Sunday when he was raised. It's that Sunday that becomes the basis of our faith. If he died, if he'd lived on this earth, taught all that he taught, did all that he did, and then died, and the tomb still had his body in it, it's a past tense religion. A prophet, but a dead prophet. A savior, but a dead Savior. A brother, but a dead brother. But that Sunday becomes the basis of our faith. He's not a dead prophet. He's a living prophet. He's not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. And He's our brother, our mediator, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He's our forerunner that's entered into heaven as John the Baptist came before Jesus and said, Jesus is coming. Jesus as our forerunner, Hebrews 6:19, is in heaven and He says, the church is coming. And it's that empty tomb. It's that Sunday. That is the basis of all that we are. It's the basis of our worship. It's the basis of our songs, Gary, that you led this morning. God shall wipe away all tears. And all these songs about heaven. Reality? Yes. How do we know? Because of that Sunday. Earl, I'm glad to see you today. 71 years of marriage. And I sat over there this morning and we're singing about heaven. And you sang every word of every song. You know why there's hope? Because of that Sunday. Young people, do you know why you can make decisions? It's because of that Sunday. And folks, in our lives, whenever there are those times when it's Friday and we are at the point of saying we were hoping and all hope is gone. Folks, things are not always as they seem. Sometimes it looks like Friday is reality. But Friday is not reality. Sunday is reality. And if you believe that with all of your heart, you need to change your life to get the blessing of that Sunday. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Ungodliness in your life? Then believe in the Lord and head toward righteousness. Repent. For God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Make up your minds to serve God and serve Him. That's the way to gain the blessing of that day. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, you can be immersed for the remission of your sins, baptized into Christ, added to the church, to the family, to the kingdom. And now there's a living Savior making intercession for you. And then He says to every one of us in our lives, don't you lose faith. You be full of faith. And when Fridays come and despair is there, write on your heart and say to your soul, Sunday is coming. And God hasten that final day. Are you happy not being a Christian? Are you indifferent like those tourists who walked into that city and then sort of forgot about Him? Are you so wrapped up in 30 pieces of silver that you think this is reality? Folks, all of that is Fridays. Sunday is coming. If you want the blessings of that Sunday, and this church can help you in any way, Won't you let us know how? By coming to the front right now, as together we stand and sing. Will you come?